you so much for Rose and for her desire to know you better, to love you more fully, and to tell everybody about that love. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint her for the purpose that you've given her today. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Rose.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you. So the great teacher Jesus sits in a boat and teaches the crowd stretched out on the beach in front of him, teaches in parables, stories that impact the lives of those that understand their hidden messages. But for those that don't have revelation, they're just nice stories. So this time, the parable of the sower, as it's often called, a farmer liberally throwing his seed out into all types of soil. Four types of soil we're told about. Three types unproductive. The hard path where the birds come and eat it before it can get through the soil below. The shallow soil with rocks underneath, where the plants spring up quickly, but being ruthless, they're scorched and wither in the sun. And the soil where there's thorns that come in and choke the plants as they grow. And just one type of fertile soil which produces a crop. It's a strange story to our modern ears. Surely this isn't the way we grow crops in the United Kingdom. Fancy wasting all that seed in ground that isn't productive. Such inefficient methodology and use of resources. Why not plough first, as in England's green and pleasant land, and weed and feed the soil? We have to remind ourselves that farming methods in ancient Palestine's terrain were quite different. What then might we use as a modern equivalent parable? Let's try this one. Currently, during lockdown, we send out our services online. Does this work perfectly for everyone? The service goes out, but some don't even have the equipment needed to connect in the first place, so it doesn't reach them. Others start listening and they're just enjoying it when, oh no, that whirring arrow appears on the screen, connection's lost, and by the time they get it back, if ever, they've lost the thread. For still others, they start listening, but then the service is drowned out by background noise. The baby's cries in the background, the phone rings, the stomach rumble, the thoughts distract. Whatever they are for you, preoccupations about money, work, relationships. Hopefully, there are also those that hear and concentrate and remember the service. We trust by the Spirit of God that they are applying its contents fruitfully in the week ahead and beyond. Anyway, back to Palestine. What is Jesus trying to say in this story? He's not teaching farming methods or online service methods. Firstly, who is the farmer? Is that sower just God? Could it also be the body of Christ, the disciples, the church, us all who scatter seed? And the seed, what is the seed? We're told it's the message of the kingdom. Which kingdom? Not an earthly one with finite boundaries, or one that waxes and wanes, lasts a little while and then is destroyed. Perhaps it's better to ask not which kingdom, but whose kingdom. The kingdom that we're talking about is the kingdom of the living God. And referring back to our earlier songs from Ruth, he is the one clothed in majesty, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings, our amazing God. This kingdom is his reign in all times and all places and for all eternity. We also sung time is in his hands, beginning and the end, the beginning and the end. He is, however, most decisively not a distant, unconcerned ruler who fires out instructions and laws from on high. Rather, this is amazing grace and amazing love. Rather, he is God with us, Emmanuel, the God who himself came down, became human and lived among us. He is the Lamb who was slain, the one who was crucified in my place, the one who conquered the grave, bringing forgiveness and new life to his people, opening his kingdom to every race and every colour, every nation who believes in him. Jesus recognises that some, the fruitful, will trust and receive this message, but others, the casual, the shallow, and the worldly, will not. The casual have no understanding that this good news about the kingdom, what is it talking about? So it's immediately removed from their hearts by our enemy Satan, like the seed on the path eaten by the birds. The shallow, the superficial, will try following God for a bit, and they'll even look joyful and enthusiastic. They look good for a bit. But they, like the seed in shallow soil, are not rooted. They don't build a relationship with God and let his word and his teaching become deeply embedded in their lives. They can't hang on. They can't stand firm when things become difficult. When others mock their beliefs, or more drastically for some, threaten their livelihoods, or expel them from their birth family, or imprison them for their faith, they're not able to persevere in times of trouble. Then there are the worldly, those who can't choose God's kingdom above the material things of this life. Jesus says elsewhere, you can't serve both God and money. You can't be double-minded. Spurgeon says, you can't grow thorn and corn at the same time. The thorns come in and choke the corn. The temporary things which deceive, they seem so valuable in the short term, but they are in the long term illusions. And the weedy worries consume people. Jesus, the Saviour, a name which is used 150 times for him in Matthew, says, do not worry, do not be afraid, trust in me. We are called to believe in him to help us to overcome. He is there, he cares, he has the solutions. Matthew's writer probably had particular people in his mind when he included this story in this place in his gospel, particular soils. In between the parable and its explanation, which we heard this morning, he quotes Isaiah, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. Calloused hearts that won't understand and turn and be healed." In previous chapters, Matthew has said that Nineveh turned from its wrongdoing when it heard Jonah's preaching, but this current generation have ignored the one greater than Jonah. Sadly, heartbreakingly, for God and the early church, those not responding to Jesus's miracles performed among them, those unrepentant, include many Jews, the once chosen people of God, the ones set apart to walk with him and witness to him in Old Testament times. And even the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, strongly oppose Jesus. Bound by the letter of the law, they can't accept it's right to do good on the Sabbath. It's right to heal and set people free from demons. They fail to grasp who Jesus is. They fail to understand his lordship, that he fulfills all the law and the prophets, that the kingdom of heaven is near. They are hard, path-like soils. They don't turn to Christ. They don't live lives in keeping with God's ways of compassion and mercy. Well, so far that's been a bit sobering. But the parable of the sower is not meant to be discouraging. Maybe the liberal scattering of seed is not wastefulness, but instead it's the generosity and love of the God who, while we were still sinners, died for us and will continue to reach out to all, whether they respond or not. And even more importantly, there is the productive soil, the soil in which the seed takes fruit and takes root and grows and produces a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Surely this is far from inefficient. The wastage of seed is insignificant compared to the growth in the fruitful crops. According to one commentary I read, average crops gave a 7.5-fold increase. A bumper crop would give 10. Well, this parable has 160 and 30. They are all phenomenal yields. The Message calls it a harvest beyond your wildest dreams. For Matthew, this fruitful soil is the disciples. They've seen what others long to see. They've heard what others long to hear. They're blessed because they've really listened, truly heard, and seen and understood and turned and be healed. Right before this parable, we're told that those that who do the will of Jesus' Father in heaven are his brother and sister and mother. They are his family. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Such as these belong in God's kingdom, and once in, they grow. A growth that at times may be gradual and unseen, but it is always prolific and unstoppable. In time, the gospel has spread across the world. One day, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God, and every knee shall bow. So what about me? What does this parable mean to me? What about you? What does it mean to you? Are we sowing the seed? Which soil are we? If I could keep all the law of the living God, wow, how fruitful I would be. What a person I would be. Truly good soil. Loving God, worshipping him as he deserves, putting him above all else, life dedicated to him and bringing him honour through speech and action, loving my neighbour, caring for the poor and needy, valuing creation, never wrongfully taking anything from anyone else, using my words to build others up. As Matthew 7:12 says, doing to others what I'd like them to do to me. Wow, what a fruitful person I would be. A good tree bearing good fruit. 160 or 30-fold crop. But how to do it? I want to. I know God's ways. His laws are holy and righteous and good. But I keep on doing the wrong I didn't want to do, says Paul in Romans chapter 7. Hurting others, displeasing God, imprisoned and enslaved by the wrong I can't seem to avoid. And yet Paul begins chapter 8 of Romans with, therefore there is now no condemnation. How is there no condemnation? How am I not judged and punished when I'm clearly found wanting by my King? How can I be good soil and not like the path or the rocky or thorny ground? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The punishment has been laid on him. The King of the kingdom died for us so we can be forgiven and have a new start and live fruitful lives in him. Our hard hearts softened, his spirit living in us, setting us free from the choking and overpowering thorns, from our weedy worries and our willful wrongdoing. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We no longer live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit, who is life and peace. It's a process, the already and the not yet. But we have turned, and we are submitting to God now and not the enemy. We are now resisting sin rather than resisting God. We seek first God's kingdom. Sin and death, our previous rulers, have been overthrown in Christ. Now we belong to the King, in his family, in his kingdom. Now the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is giving us abundant and fruitful lives of love in the kingdom of the King of love and joy and peace. That seed that was sown is bearing fruit. Perhaps we could rename our parable, the parable of the fruitful soil, as we live our lives in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit, and become all he intended us to be. Thank you for listening.